We would like to welcome you to the March 13th St. Patrick's Week meeting of the Savannah Historic Board of Review. The purpose of this board is to promote the educational, cultural, economic, general welfare of the city of Savannah. This board is appointed by City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit and nonprofit organization. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards established in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance are the basis for evaluating the compatibility of changes in new development. The board cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, and impact on property values are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for a decision. Signposting. Members of the board receive packages containing applications in the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects that were not posted this month? Hearing none, we will move on to the consent agenda. Well, we will move past the consent agenda because there are no items this month on the consent agenda. Adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion for approval of the agenda as presented?
This is Hools. So moved.
Thompson, second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Now we will move on to the approval of the minutes. The minutes from the previous meeting are attached to the agenda. Is there a motion for approval of the February 14th meeting minutes?
Higgins, so moved.
Rowan, second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
The minutes are approved. There are no items that have been requested to be removed from the final agenda. We will move on to the continued agenda. These applications have been requested to be continued to the following meeting. Is there a motion to continue the items on the continued agenda?
Again, so moved.
Rowan, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The motion to approve the continued agenda has been approved and has passed. There are no requests for extension this month, so we will move on to the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendations. We ask that the petitioner limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address the items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to public comments. The board will then go into board discussion, at which point no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairwoman. We will structure board discussion by going around to each board member two times for comment. You do not have to provide comments if you do not have any. If you are joining us virtually for the first time, locate your control panel. Public that wishes to submit comment, use the raise your hand feature. I will be notified and I will call on you by name. You will submit your name for the record and then you may comment. And please keep your comments to 3 minutes or less. First up on the agenda, I need my glasses. Petition of Pantheon Architecture, file number 24-000885-COA 106 West Gwinnett Street, rehabilitation and alterations.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. This is Caitlin Chamberlain. The applicant is requesting approval to make repairs to the historic apartment building located at 106 West Gwinnett Street. Proposed work is primarily to address water infiltration issues and includes repair/repointing brick on building and chimney. Show kind of a drawing here. The new roof membrane, which because it's not visible from a public right-of-way, we're not including in the review. New emergency roof drains and downspouts. Remove damaged stucco on parapet and new metal coping to repair, replace damaged windows and repair, replace damaged exterior doors on ground floor and a new decorative fence. So for some background, 106 West Gwinnett Street, also known as 715 Whittaker Street, was built circa 1920 and is a contributing resource within the National Historic Landmark District and the local Savannah Downtown Historic District. It first opened as the Forsyth Apartment Hotel, and the first Savannah City Directory, which the building appears in, is 1921. The listing in here, Forsyth Apartments. A brochure from circa 1920 states that the Forsyth Apartment Hotel offers all the housekeeping joys without the cares. The six-story structure was built by the G.A. Mercer Company. The rooms initially came fully furnished, and the brochure even details the building materials and the companies who furnished them. Specific to this, the purposes of this report are the John G. Butler Builders Supply Company of Savannah, who did the doors and hardware, A.S. Bacon and Sons of Savannah, and they did the window frames and interior trim, and the Alpha Portland Cement Company for the Portland Cement. The submittal packet outlines specific areas where the proposed repairs will occur due to the water infiltration issues. Kind of go through some of those where there's some of the areas that we wouldn't see from the ground level as well on behind the parapet. There's the damage to the stucco, the brick on the chimney will be remediated. So one thing to note is to help remediate the water infiltration issues. Part of the work includes removal of a small portion of existing brick on the rear elevation to install through-wall emergency roof scuppers. So just to kind of show a little closer view, plan view of that. That would be these corners here. This will be a minor repair remediation on the rear elevation, and staff found it was an appropriate solution to assist with water issues without impacting the historic character of the building and future preservation of the materials. Staff finds the majority of the work is in kind and visually compatible, but did have some conditions of approval as well as one material change request. The submittal packet makes note that the mortar used for repointing will be matched to the existing. Staff requests that once a mortar match is made to provide the product specifications and a small sample for review. When a large scale repointing occurs, there's usually the requirement that a 4x4 sample is viewed by an MPC staff member to ensure it's appropriate, but sometimes when that's not possible to do, such as if it's in smaller areas or up on a higher elevation, we'll ask for just a small physical sample to still be able to see, you know, and ensure that it's a match. In cases where the brick must be replaced and for the brick to be used in the fence base, staff recommends a sample is submitted for review prior to starting the work. And then part of this proposed work also includes applying a waterproofing sealer over the brick to help prevent the future water infiltration issues, but staff is requesting information about how the sealer performs on historic brick to determine if it will cause damage. Regarding the windows and doors, there is a note stating that the doors cannot be repaired, or that any doors that cannot be repaired will be replaced to match the existing. So staff is just requesting product information and just confirming which doors will be replaced. And then the same is true for any windows that need to be replaced. Since historically the windows were wood, in order to meet the standards, they must also be wood rather than the proposed aluminum clad wood windows. And clearly there are quite a few windows, so that is part of why staff is just requesting specification on which ones and documentation by photograph. So with that, staff recommendation is to approve the request for the proposed repairs and proposed fence at 106 West Gwinnett Street with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for review and approval prior to starting the work, because the proposed project is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. So one, once the mortar match is determined, provide the product specifications and a small physical mortar sample to staff. Two, provide a brick sample for the proposed replacement brick and the fence base. Three, provide information about how the, I'm not going to say this right, Prosoco Siloxane PD waterproofing sealer performs on historic brick to ensure it will not cause damage. Four, include material and product specifications on replacement doors. Five, select a historically appropriate wood window for replacements. And six, include photographic detail as well as information on the drawings to show which windows and doors will be replaced. Thank you.
Thank you, Caitlin. Are there any questions for staff?
One minor question. Sure. On the mortar sample, is that mortar sample going to be something that they would bring in here, or they're going to do at the site so you can compare the old with the new?
In some cases, a small sample can be brought in. It's almost like in a small plastic container that can be kind of just brought to us. But if there's an area that we can actually observe from the ground, we can do that, see it in person.
Any additional questions for staff? Thank you, Caitlin. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Hello, I'm Caitlin Corliss, architect with Pantheon ADC and project manager for this renovation job. And I just wanted to thank the staff for their discussions with us about this project and their recommendation to approve. We plan to comply with all the conditions listed. I just wanted to mention with number three, that sealer that we were just talking about, it is meant to be a permeable water repellent versus a sealer, so the brick can still breathe and act naturally the way the veneer was meant to. And I've reached out to the manufacturer to get more information. I'm not sure if there is a case study with historic brick available. We're going to try our best to get that information for staff, as well as the other samples and everything else listed. So that's really all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there questions for the petitioner? Okay, thank you. Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? We ask that you please come forward, sign in, state your name for the record.
Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. Our ARC is generally supportive of this application with staff's recommendations as it was presented. However, they have concerns regarding the design and the material of the proposed fencing being visually compatible for the context and adjacent to the historic iron fencing. That's the only comment I have.
Thank you. Would the petitioner like to respond to public comment? Okay, at this time, we will now enter into board discussion and no further public comment will be accepted. Mr. Houle, I'll start with you.
Just a quick request to pull up the conditions. Thanks. No other questions.
I have no questions.
No comment other than supporting staff comment or staff recommendation.
Mr. Thompson. Ms. Rowan.
I do agree with Historic Savannah Foundation about the fence.
Okay, we'll go around one more time, Mr. Houle.
Caitlin, could you, two sentences, talk about the fence?
I know I have it on the drawing somewhere in here. So there is no fence at this time. They just wanted to put something to kind of screen in the parking lot. Let me check this other side. Sorry. And then if we want to look. Probably best to have the visual of just where it would be going. This would be here. And in our report, we found, you know, we found that it met the standard, but certainly the board can decide whatever they would like to do. And then let me get the, I know there's a spec for it somewhere on here. No. I'm not finding it. Sorry, it's just so tiny. Here we go. So, and part of their consideration, the applicant's consideration, was just kind of keeping in with what seemed visually compatible in the area with some of these nearby properties. Clearly not replicas, but, you know, just to kind of mirror that a little bit.
Does that answer your question? It does not.
What else can, and I don't know if that's something or, okay.
Okay. Mr. Becker.
No further comment other than I agree with the staff's recommendations.
Mr. Higgins.
No comment.
Mr. Thompson.
I do have a question. I didn't understand the Historic Savannah Foundation's objection with the fence. I thought it had something to do with a grate.
Yeah, not allowed to respond because we're in board discussion.
So nobody knows or can't say. You're not? Not even if there's a follow-up question that's related to the board question. All right. It's a fence. It might be the aluminum versus iron.
Yes.
Is that what it was?
I think that's the point.
Okay.
That's my point. Because the neighboring properties, their fences are iron. And that's going to look, I don't know if I'm allowed to say cheap. I would be offended if that was next to my house.
Okay. Is that all? That's quite all right. We will now entertain a motion.
Okay.
okay.
Am I good? Okay. I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition 24-00885-COA 106 West Gwinnett Street, provided that the conditions are met. How do I add?
You can add a condition.
Okay, and I'd like to add the condition that we review the material or the material of the fence be changed to iron instead of aluminum.
Okay, I'll do my best to clarify the motion on the floor. Yep. So there is a motion on the floor to approve the application with the staff's conditions, with the added condition that a staff be able to review the material of the fence with a preferential or a preference toward iron to keep with the visual compatibility of the neighborhood.
Yes, West, that's what I meant to say.
Are you giving staff latitude to make that decision, or are we stating it should be iron?
It's your motion.
I say iron.
Okay, so the motion on the floor is that we approve the application with staff's condition, with the added condition that the material of the fence be iron, and staff has the opportunity to review that.
Higgins, second.
Madam Chair, regarding iron, is that the correct alloy? Is it iron or is it some other type of predominantly iron composite? That probably should give staff latitude to...
The motion is iron with staff's approval. Mr. Houle, how do you vote?
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Aye.
Mr. Becker?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
The motion is approved. Next, we will hear the petition of Ellie Lori, file number 24-000892-COA 201 West Jones Street, for an addition.
So again, the applicant is requesting to remove exterior brick on the upper portion of a two-story rear section of the home. Just for clarification, it's just this one portion right here. The lower portion of the wall, as far as I know, will not be touched. The applicant is also requesting to construct a rear addition, to change the railing in the front stairs, replace a front door and the door on the privacy wall, as well as to change the garage door on the outbuilding. So a little bit of context for this building. It was constructed in 1852 and contributes to the district. It was constructed for Isaac Brunner, I believe I'm pronouncing that right. He was a city alderman, clerk of the market, a non-commissioned officer or private in the Civil War, and a plasterer. The property was used as a rental for at least a portion of its history based on advertisements found in the newspapers, as well as it being listed as apartments in the Sanborn maps. The only major change to the main portion of the home based on the Sanborns was the addition of the stoop between 1888 and 1898. The roof of the stoop was removed at some unknown time. Based on photographs of the building, a COA was issued in 2001 to add a wood canopy and iron columns in the front stoop. The ward notebook does note that the configuration of the stoop was also altered, but does not give a time when that took place. Also, we're going to talk mainly about the rear section of the home, since that's kind of the main portion under discussion. So in the earlier Sanborn maps, up until 1898, this rear stretch is listed as one every year after 1898 to 1916 up until 1973. It was listed as 1B, so staff's unsure if it was expanded upwards at some point or if it was just a misprint in these earlier maps. It also appears that by 1973, this rear portion had been expanded, but we have no photographs showing what exactly took place during that time. Here's some more photos. It is just this one area that's in question. That lower portion will not be touched. So with this project, the primary concern, again, is removal of that brick on the upper portion of the wall. According to the applicant, this is just a veneer that was added at some point in time. His argument is provided in the supplemental packet. Staff does believe that this was either historic or has gained significance over time and requests that it be retained. Some other kind of concerns that staff has with this project is a lack of insight, at least on the upper portion of the addition. Again, there's no historical evidence that there was a third-story portion of this addition. So staff would like to see this inset to that historic corner will be retained. The applicant is also proposing cement fiberboard panels under the windows. This is something that the standards do not approve and has not been approved previously by this commission. The applicant is also proposing a transom below the windows on the first floor of the rear of the addition. Again, this is not something that's necessary to see historically. So staff recommends either that the design is changed or that the transoms are put above the windows instead of being below them. And then two minor things. Staff does need the color for the lattice work, as well as the height and distance between banisters for the front porch railing that they're proposing. With that, staff is recommending continuance to the application to remove the exterior brick on the upper story of the two-story section on the home facing Barner Street, the construction of a rear addition, as well as all that, at the property located 201 West Jones Street to give the petitioner time to address the following concerns. One is to redesign the addition to retain the first floor masonry wall facing Barner Street and the window opening and to inset the second story portion of the addition. To redesign the window configuration on the first floor windows on the rear of the addition. To select a material that meets the standards for the fiber cement paneling under the windows, as well as provide some of those details as well. Does the board have any questions?
I have lots. Let's start with the loss of the view of the third floor windows in the rear because of the addition of that second floor. I mean, this is going to permanently alter something that has been in view of the public for how many years? Almost 200. And it's also going to result in the loss of historic fabric by the removal of the east window to make that into an interior doorway. They also say that they're going to encapsulate the other two windows. Could staff address justification for support of that?
The main reason why we support it was because it was on the rear addition. I know previously, the practices that I've had, the rear of the building has a little bit more leeway in what people could do with it. So that's why we're kind of okay with it, again, because it's on the rear, and typically there's more flexibility in the back when it comes to conditions on.
But it's got such a prominent view from the street.
Which is a valid point as well, yes.
Can staff tell me any precedent for this third floor addition on another building that's got this kind of a view?
I am not. It's nothing that comes to mind. Would you know any, Caitlin?
So it's an excellent point, Mr. Higgins, and it's one that staff debated internally. One of the challenges in a city like Savannah, where the buildings are short relative to many other cities, is that you do have the views of the rear of many houses from public streets. And so in general, there has been, as Kelly noted, greater latitude for additions. I can think of not ones that have been done recently, but ones that have been done to other buildings over time. You can see them. I can think of one on Jones and Whitaker, where there's a house that has additions that all go back. So I guess, I mean, obviously you all are the board and you have to determine whether you think it's visually compatible. I think our struggle was if we start taking the position that rear elevations that have been visible for, you know, 100 years, 200 years, should remain that way, then that does limit how anybody would add on to the back of the houses, which historically in Savannah and in most places, people have, right, they haven't added on to the top or to the front. They've added on to the back. And the board in general in the past has been pretty, they obviously have to be visually compatible, but they've given a lot of latitude in terms of people doing pretty substantial additions onto the rear of houses. Now, I know this is a corner house, so it is more visible. So the question of whether, you know, a two-story addition here is visually compatible is one that, you know, we at the end with them pulling it down, as Kelly noted with her conditions, we felt that we could support this, but it's obviously a point that's worth debating. I don't know if that answers it.
I have a second question, if there's no more. If you could pull up page 11 of your document. I think you did a great job in citing the ordinances on 11 regarding the ancillary structures. I just want to raise the issue that here at the bottom says where your garage door, so the applicant is going to replace that garage door. But this is adjacent to a sidewalk. And I would just like to make the comment, I believe that the garage door should resemble a carriage house door. I think the irony is, I think in the applicant's package, they actually showed a whole bunch of doors that were the, they chose from, and there were actually some carriage house doors there, and they chose the other ones. But I think that I think that this should be applied. I was curious on what your thoughts were on that.
I definitely see where you're coming from. Staff looked at it as being abutting the alley, not necessarily adjacent. In person, I think adjacent would be if it's facing if the actual garage door is facing the sidewalk itself. I see where you're coming from. And if you want to make that condition, staff can do that.
Thank you.
Are there additional questions for staff? Okay, thank you, Kelly.
And I believe the applicant is here to speak as well.
Great. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon. My name is Eli Lurie. starting off with most of those conditions that staff presented, we're willing to make the panels out of wood so that they're not fiber cement. Other than that, the main condition that we had is the brick on Barnard Street. And with that porch on the rear of the house, I reached out to Ryan Jarls, who most of you are probably familiar with, and he reached out to Amanda Lachlan, who was the National Register Coordinator in Kansas for 8 years. And so I attached their correspondence from the sandboard maps going back and forth. So here, so Ryan wrote everything that's in black, and Amanda wrote everything in red. So going back through the sandboard maps in 1898, you can see that there was a structure there, but it was much smaller than what's there today. And they both agree that this isn't what was there currently. Then moving forward to 1916, it was a one-story over-raised basement. The back was infilled, so the courtyard side was infilled with wood, not brick. And then it changed significantly over the time. So 1954 Payson showed the same conditions as 1916, so nothing changed to 54. But then in 73, the porch was enlarged significantly from what was there previous to that. So nothing that was back there, in my opinion, and what we've seen when we were opening up the walls. So here's a example of the interior on the garden level. So you can see there's the historic corner of the house right there. And then all of this is infilled. So it has plywood over it. It's a brick veneer. There wouldn't be any other way to construct that wall with the plywood and all that on it. So our opinion is that that whole wall after the historic corner that you can see is all a later addition, but they used historic brick to make it look cohesive. So here's another example of the wall facing the courtyard and how it's all modern insulation, modern framing, plywood, brick veneer. Then on the courtyard, that brick wall, this is the other side of it. So this is this wall right here is where it faces Barnard Street, and you can see that it's CMU. And so it's brick veneer over CMU when it's a freestanding wall. And so there's another view of that CMU. And then the whole porch on the back is supported by CMU piers. So we strongly believe that nothing that's back there has any historic value since it wasn't there previous to 1973. There's another example of those CMU piers. And so just to clarify with this addition, we are not removing any of the historic any of the fabric of that addition other than the brick veneer. We're leaving the floor framing. We're leaving the wall framing. We're using the existing wall framing that's there to build upon. So we are open to stepping the pilasters on the addition in to give a more prevalent historic corner on that Barnard Street side. And we are willing to work with staff and the board to meet any conditions that they feel are necessary. But we feel as though that we have designed something that fits the historic fabric of Savannah. And there's many examples of two-story porches that look infilled all over the historic district. And if I can ask if you guys have any questions for me.
Yes, but. Thank you. Are there questions for the petitioner?
Would you address the loss of the windows on the third floor?
So the two eastern windows, we are just building a wall over those. So those two windows will remain as they are. The sills, everything will remain. The only thing with that western window is we will be removing the sashes, but we will be keeping in that same opening. So we are only removing the sill down to the floor. And so that's only, I assume, like 6 square feet of.
So there will be loss of historic fabric.
Yes. But there are several examples of, I don't have any offhand, but there are several examples of houses that have porches that have been added to them where the sills have been lowered that have been approved by the board through the years.
This isn't a porch.
Well, that's just an example of when people do additions to get over to them because there's no other way to access it.
Are there additional questions for the petitioner? Thank you, Mr. Lurie. Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? We ask that you please come forward, sign in, and state your name for the record.
This is, again, Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation at Historic Savannah Foundation. Our ARC has significant concerns over this project. The addition is not visually compatible. They believe it creates a false sense of historicism and is too large in scale and height. It is not subservient to the main house. The proposed addition appears to result in the loss of important features, such as the dentil molding, masonry, and the three window openings on the rear facade. Clearly, I wrote this before I just heard him say that. So, like, we like the fact that they're going to encapsulate them, but you're still losing them visually from the street. Our ARC would like to argue that the existing addition, approximately 50, 51 years old at this point, could be considered historic in its own right, and represents the progression of the building over time. Therefore, our ARC would like for the board to take under consideration denial of this application in order for the addition to be redesigned and retain the existing height, features, and masonry. That's all.
Thank you, Ms. Isaacs. Is there another member of the public that would like to speak? Please come forward and state your name for the record.
Hello, my name is Sabrina Nagel. I reside just very close to this house. So I do see it quite often. I think that this house is important because of its corner. So the visual compatibility is probably the most important thing we're dealing with here. It is very, very visible from all three sides, which is not that common anymore. But because SCAD's little patio is behind it, it is quite visible as opposed to other houses on other corners. I, as a nearby resident who appreciates this house and the beauty of it, I think it's a huge mistake to encapsulate those three top windows. They are very visible and very beautiful. The cornice on the top is stupendous. I think encapsulating them, whether you're preserving them and lowering a sill, they're still going to be closed off to the view. In general, I think that the addition is way too big and it is not visually compatible with the existing property. That little wall in the back, whether it was there or not a very long time ago before 1972, it is currently visually compatible. So those people who built it took great care that brick matched and it looks great. Whereas now we're going to rip it off and build a humongous addition with no visual compatibility, I think it's wrong as a nearby resident. That's my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there another member of the public that wishes to speak on this matter? Please remember to state your name for the record.
Thank you. My name is Steve Edwards, and I represent the Downtown Neighborhood Association of Savannah. First, I'd like to commend the staff on the thorough research. I agree with their conclusions and recommendations as far as they go. I also read the submission by Mr. Jones that's attached to the agenda, and I join in his comments, the comments he made in there. Of course, one of the advantages and disadvantages of going later is that there's not a lot to add. But as Mr. Jones points out, the glassed-in two-story piazza is inconsistent with the style of the existing house. More importantly, though, in our view, it is too large for the proposed position and obscures both the existing historic structure or surface of the building and the adjacent structures. We'd also like to add that the mass of the proposed addition is visually incompatible and out of scale with a related structure. My presentation, which I think you can see, doesn't include anything you haven't already seen, but there's a lot of detail in the submission. So I'd like to try to bring that into perspective. This is the as-built south elevation, and this is the proposed south elevation. And to focus it a little bit more, here's a detail of the existing south built, as-built south elevation, and this is what they'd like to do. As I think you can see, it almost overwhelms the view of the structure from Barnard Street. And as a personal matter, I live across the street and would not look forward to the change. As Ms. Nagel pointed out, you could, from another perspective, because the SCAD patio is so low, the rear of this house is much more prominent than most other corner houses. And the other thing that I think puts it into perspective is, as the submission points out, that lot coverage is already 78% of the lot by structures. And this is just another example of an encroachment and crowding of lots that we've seen throughout the historic district. Our request, therefore, is that you disapprove the third story addition and send it back for a redesign. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Is there anyone else? Mr. Jones, I thought you might be sitting silently today.
Hello, I'm Andrew Jones, chair of the Oglethorpe Plan Coalition. I agree with many of the prior speakers. I also support the staff's report, which was extremely thorough. But like many of the speakers, I think perhaps the staff could go further in terms of a denial of this proposal. We're very concerned about the loss of those three windows and cornice on the back. These are character defining features, and they must be preserved, including the sash windows, shutters, and the parapet. The proposal fails the criteria for additions. Additions shall not obscure or damage any character defining features. So that is the rule to apply. It fails the rule for all the reasons said before. Only a tiny portion of this dental cornice will remain visible. Additions shall be reversible with minimal damage to the contributing building. We've discussed the damage to the window here, the removal of the sill, and of course, if it's encapsulated, it can't be seen. It looks like they're removing the shutters. So this is not easily reversible. As others had mentioned, it gives a false sense of history. It replicates the form of glassed-in two-story piazzas on other buildings, but there is no evidence that this particular building ever had that. It's inconsistent with the Secretary of Interior standards under 7.88, and in particular, We focused a lot about this outer part of the addition being later, but this part of the addition, which they are going to destroy, is in all those insurance maps. They are going to destroy an original part of the structure. And lastly, if you look at the picture below, that's the picture from page 52 of the 2018 National Park Service report. And it was their one example of what a tithing block should look like with a principal building, a garden, and a carriage house. They mislabeled it. They said it was Bull Street, but you can see it's obviously this building on Barnard. As you know, all the NHL districts throughout the country have been put into a no category status. Savannah was never removed from the threatened list, unlike some news articles have reported. And Savannah now needs to reapply for NHL status. So it would be a very ironic to have to reapply with having altered the one building they cited as the building we should be protecting. A technical comment on the railings, the historically accurate version of railings are this Vitruvian scroll form with the little C scrolls and verticals with a little boss and a cast iron. A newel post, this is one of four West Jones. There are many just on that block and throughout the district from the 1850s that take this form. The one that's there is it's a good copy. It's not the best copy, but it's attempting to do that. The one that's in the proposal is just not appropriate. It's sort of a 1950s version of an Italianate style iron. It's just not a good pattern. And so if it's between the proposal and what they have, they should keep what they have. It's a little bit better, or they should have a perfect copy made from an original. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Are there any further public comments? Would the petitioner like to respond to public comment? And just restate your name for the record.
Eli Lurie.
So as staff pointed out, the railing that's there now was put on in the mid-2000s, and that's aluminum. So it's not cast iron. It's not anything of historic significance. It's aluminum that it's pretty cheaply done, and it's not holding up well. So that's why we're suggesting replacement of that. And one thing to note about that section of wall, this is the first floor section of that. So that historic corner is right here. And so this is the tertiary facade of this property. It's not the primary, it's not the secondary, it's the tertiary. And so this facade historically, when it was done, this is how they treated the historic rear facade of this building, is they just lopped it all off. And so all of those historic openings that were there aren't there anymore. So we're doing this property justice by just taking out that little section of brick versus what was historically done to this property, where they just lopped it off. I think that was the main points. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we will now enter into board discussion, and no further comment will be accepted. Ms. Rowan, I'll start with you.
I just want to say this board, all of you are sitting here. We approved a similar design at the corner of Abercorn and Gordon, where this design was on the side of a house where they took that part of the house off because it was not historic. And I don't think that wall, to me, it does not seem like it's historic to the house. They did a really great job of matching the historic brick, but I don't think that we should deny it. If anything, we can continue it, but I don't think that we should deny it. It's a beautiful design, and it's not more than, they're not adding. They're still within the, 75%, 80%? They're going up. you can build up. All I have to say.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. Mr. Thompson.
I agree with a lot of the comments that were mentioned. In particular, the scale of the addition seems to outweigh the original building by quite a bit, and some of the design choices I think could be better. I do have a question. I don't know if it's for us to ask each other, but the staff recommendations of continuance. And I've heard denial a couple times by the public. I guess I need to understand what the difference between continuance is and denial in this case. Would the denial, I'll just paraphrase, require them to re-advertise and start over and go through the whole process versus continuance as they continue trying to improve what they're doing?
Yes, if you deny it, they would have to then submit a new application.
Okay, that's what I need to know. That's all.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Higgins?
I think this, what is being sought here is so inappropriate for this building. I completely support all of Historic Savannah Foundation's comments. It is out of scale. It is visually incompatible. There is loss of historic fabric. It's going to, the addition is going to overpower the original section of the house. If you want a big house, buy a big house. Don't look to take an historic house and add this huge, inappropriate, visually incompatible mass to the back of it. I also believe that the brick wall that they're proposing to get rid of, even if it is not original, has gained historic significance. And so I do not agree with staff recommendations. I believe we should deny this. If it is denied, the petitioner can come back with another design, another proposal, and bring it before this board. But everything that they are looking for, I think we should deny it currently.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Mr. Becker?
Can you throw up the visual compatibility language? While you're doing that, I'll say I completely agree with the public's comments on this, that I think that from a visual compatibility standpoint, that this project fails to meet that standard of visual compatibility. I'll also go on to say that I think that the size and the magnitude of these changes also enter into the discussion of whether they have to comply with the 75% ratio. When you look at visual compatibility, it talks about if it is a material change or significant change in appearance, it has to be consistent with the standards and guidelines and criteria developed in the district, which include the 75% ratio. So I think that is an open issue for us to discuss. But again, the loss of historical material, which the applicant admitted is occurring. I mentioned earlier about the garage door being inconsistent with the carriage house style. And I think they're covering a lot of character-defining features, historical features. And so I would lean on this not being approved. If our group would want to continue it, I would want to add that the carriage house door be considered, and also a reuse of the windows that they propose to enclose.
Thank you, Mr. Becker. Mr. Houle?
Well, first thing I'd like to do is thank the applicant for having the courage to come up and propose this. Be that as it may, I agree with several of the other board members that the mass of this project, the design, especially that third floor, which is going to obliterate the view of those windows. Just visually incompatible, and I was originally leaning toward your continuance, but I think I've moved over to denial.
Thank you, Mr. Houle. I'll go around one more time. Ms. Rowan?
I agree with staff recommendation to continue it.
Mr. Thompson?
I agree in the continuance because the applicant can come back with a completely redesigned thing and not have to pay a second fee and all those other things that are expensive. And I don't know if it's justified, but it's clear from our comments that we do not like the current design, and I agree with that.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Higgins?
The challenge with the continuance, as I see it, is that staff recommendations basically are agreeing overall with this project. They're just asking for certain redesigns. I find the entire project as proposed inappropriate for reasons I've already stated. So I think we have no choice but to deny it.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Mr. Becker?
I have no additional comments other than the fact that I concur with Mr. Higgins' previous comments.
Thank you, Mr. Hull.
No further comments.
Okay. We will now entertain a motion.
Higgins. I move the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review with regard to 24-000892, which is 201 West Jones Street, deny the application on the basis of visual incompatibility, scale and mass to the primary structure, and loss of historic fabric.
Do we have a second?
Becker, second.
Okay, there is a motion on the floor to deny. Ms. Rowan, I'll start with you.
Nay.
Mr. Thompson.
Taking things out of order, huh? Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
Mr. Becker?
Aye.
Mr. Hull?
Aye.
All right, the motion to deny the petition passes. Okay, moving on in the agenda, we'll now go to approved staff reviews. We're going to do this a little differently today, and we're going to, I will entertain a motion to combine the items listed in the staff review.
Hull, so moved.
Higgins, second.
Sorry, Mr. Hull, can you state the motion? Just for this one, if you can state the motion and list the items that are going to be combined.
I move that we approve the staff reviews as submitted.
The item numbers 8 through?
Items 8 through?
24. Higgins, second.
Thank you. And Mr. Hull, I'll start with you. How do you vote?
I didn't hear you.
How do you vote?
Oh, aye.
Mr. Becker?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Heartily aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Okay, that's approved. Moving on to work performed without a certificate of appropriateness. We have to move to approve this, correct? Just acknowledge. Voice vote.
You don't have to approve it.
You don't have to approve it. Okay.
My understanding.
Sorry, still learning.
No, we're all learning.
Question. Jonathan, can you give us a status update on 222 East Gwinnett Street?
This is house with the front doors. Yes, we're still working on trying to figure out what exactly has happened and what needs to be addressed, but I don't want you to think we've forgotten about it.
There were no items deferred to staff this month. Acknowledge the notice and proclamations, and is there any other business?
Just in the pre-meeting, we're thrilled that we have a new board member who's here, right there. As we were noting, discussing during the pre-meeting, but we should get it on the record, we're trying to have a more formal policy for when folks join the boards or the commissions. And so we're having folks attend a meeting just as an observer. Ms. Nagel will be joining you all formally next month. And we're thrilled that she's a downtown resident, as you heard, lives on Jones Street, I believe, not to give out her personal information. But we're thrilled, as we also have Ms. Rowan, obviously, who lives downtown, but it's great to have people who live in the historic district.
Absolutely. Well, welcome, Ms. Nagel. We look forward to serving alongside of you. Is there any other business from the board? All right. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Rowan, so moved.
A second.
Becker, second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.
Thank you all for your